Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a Tuesday conversation, the conversation that I hope you're part of, folks, and thank you for tuning in. It's good to be back, guys. Had someone that raised like a second mother to me pass, and brother's not doing too great, so just taking time to help out and be there for them, just like I know they'd be there for me. It's just called giving back. That's what we do in this world. Some people do, you know. Tonight on the conversation, freedom of speech is being eliminated while Alex Jones and InfoWars is being taken off YouTube, Facebook, Apple. Whether you agree or disagree with what happened, you can't be on two sides of the aisle. You can't be a liberal with this and be on the same side of the aisle. I'll get into that. Shocker, because you know how NASCAR has really stepped up their pursuit of testing to make sure you're not doing drugs or having any issues. Brian France, the CEO of NASCAR, is taking leave of absence after being arrested for DUI and having OxyContin. Wow. And you wonder why NASCAR is going in the toilet. Their CEO is not... I think we need to get intervention and get him on that show. Wow. There is a actual, where was this? I think it was in Nashville. Yeah, it was a Nashville carjacking that was stopped because of stick. Yeah, it had a manual transmission and the kids didn't know what they're doing. They're going to ban manual transmissions because that's discriminatory against the young carjackers. So I want to get into that. I also want to get into, as I'm going through my list and stuff, Chicago. Yeah. 11 dead and 70 injured over the weekend. And, you know, the city isn't on fire. We just have to do what we have to do in those challenged areas to make them better, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said. I'm going to get into that. And much, much more. So, welcome to the conversation that I hope you're a part of. And I want to get into John 3:15, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. No, that's 3:15. That everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. New International Version.
Yeah, wrong version. No. Look it up in the normal Bible, the King James.
No, 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and for only begotten son, that whoever not believe in him will not perish by eternal life. But, I want to get into this, because this is the double standard of the century here. I don't know if you heard, but Alex Jones doesn't really believe Sandy Hook. He believes a lot of it was fake and hoaxed. And they planted evidence to make it worse than it was, you know. And I think when you look back on what Alex Jones was, he was kind of like, okay, it did happen, but they didn't do what they said they did. Like the FBI kind of planted, like, assault weapons to make it, you know. But whatever, if you think it's wrong, it's wrong. Whatever, if you think he lied, he lied. Remember, what was it, Brian Williams on NBC that said he was in Katrina and bodies were floating by and all this stuff? Oh, he's still at NBC. You know, oh, remember when Hillary Clinton said that she landed in Bosnia under sniper fire? Whatever happened to her? Nothing. But Alex Jones has been, and InfoWars has basically been taking off of Facebook, Apple, and YouTube. I thought we had freedom of speech. You know, I'm sure if that was fake news, that was CNN, they wouldn't care. Well, I mean, they wouldn't, because I guarantee you CNN is on Facebook, and all, and 99% of what they say is BS. That's this world we live in, folks. No one cares. No one sees the double standard. I mean, but then the double standard comes also to a point where you have people who call Trump Hitler, but he's the only one defending Israel. He's the only one standing behind Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. Hitler was not somebody who supported Christianity. Hitler was an atheist. He didn't believe in Christianity. He was shutting churches down. Trump is trying to bring Christianity back. But, you know, I mean, Trump's Hitler, so there's another.
I love the movie.
Oh, yeah. And if I knew some of it, not all of it, but go see Death of a Nation. Incredible. And I love it. It's just an amazing. It's just an amazing movie.
Had a great time.
Incredible. An awesome. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome film. Because, of course, I love the narrator because he's not white. So you can't sit there and, oh, how dare, how dare, how dare. Dashin D'Souza is incredible. And so you understand, folks, he's an immigrant. He came here legally. He knows what it's like in these third world countries. He knows what it's like in these socialist countries that all these Democrats want. He knows.
His wife is from Venezuela.
Yeah, his wife's from, yeah. And if you don't know, if you haven't been following, which you should, their hyperinflation, it now costs about a 2 weeks' pay for eggs in Venezuela. But, oh, it would work if it wasn't for America. You know, they just haven't, socialism just hasn't been applied. See, if we apply socialism in America, it's going to work. They just haven't applied it right everywhere else. You know, as soon as they do it right, in America, it'll work. Yeah. Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Oh, we just have, when you have kids that can't do anything, they can't do anything right. The kids can't. Okay. And what I mean, the kids can't do anything right, okay, yeah, so you think, okay, how are you going to pay for college for everyone? Okay, well, that's great that you want to try to take the top 1%, tax them 100% of their earnings. How long do you think someone's going to stay in this country that, no, they'll be, bye. Bye, see ya. And that one, you might get 2 years. You know, just think about that college in Vermont that Bernie Sanders started. It's gone under. Well, it was a socialist college. It was education for everybody. Yes, yes, yes. This notion, but that Death of a Nation movie, it's the truth. Hitler, okay, Trump is Hitler. He's racist. Really? Well, let me tell you something. Trump is trying to bring Christianity back to this country. Hitler was trying to get rid of churches and get rid of religion. there while Trump's trying to get rid of the media. No, if you were honest, he has no problem with news organizations that are honest. But, you know, the media can call us, I can be called a bigot, a racist, a woman hater, sexist. I mean, on and on and on and on, deplorable. And that's okay. But when I call out CNN as fake news, how dare they? How dare they? Well, maybe if you weren't fake news, we wouldn't call you fake news. Maybe if you were honest, we would call you honest. I want to get on that AM. I want to get on MSNBC with that AM Joy, that black chick, that AM Joy chick. I'd tear her a new. She wouldn't even know what to do. Well, maybe if CNN was real journalism, we might say, hey, I disagree with their viewpoint, but at least they're honest. No, the problem you have is you have a country that's going in the toilet and no one cares. Everyone just thinks, oh, free, free, free. You're being indoctrinated by these colleges that are just like, when I went to school, like especially in high school, you didn't talk politics. The teachers would never tell you who they voted for. I never remember kids wearing. I do remember kids talking about they liked Bill Clinton. They thought he was cool and hip. But other than that, there was no politicalness. There was no people wearing political buttons or political hats or anything. You didn't do it. Well, you couldn't wear hats at school anyways. But now it's.
You could wear a hat.
Yeah. But there was no point. I still remember one of my I forget it. I got her face right in my head. My art teacher, incredible artist. And they're like, who'd you vote for? She goes, we don't talk politics at school. I'm not going to say who I voted for, what I believe. This is our class. It has even my government teacher would show you like the State of the Union address just to show you the process.
My history teacher, who helped shape me in the Republican that I am today because of the history he taught, well, plus my dad teaching me, but mainly because of the lessons he made me do and what he taught us, was the biggest liberal there was. We did not know that. I did not know that until years after I graduated.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, we watched, I don't know what my teacher, what some of my teacher's political beliefs are to this day, but he would, yeah, we had like, they would show like the State of the Union address, okay? You're going to see Bill Clinton come down the aisle. He's going to shake this person's hand. They're going to, well, the Speaker of the House is going to introduce him. The Vice President's going to say hi. All this stuff's going to happen. This is, you know, and you're going to be okay. It wasn't, well, now I want to pause this because, okay, did you hear what Bill Clinton said there? Can you believe that? Are you kidding me? Can you believe he said that? Do we got a police academy going on? Is Monica Lewinsky underneath that podium with the little curtain? I mean, really? No, it was showing you the State of the Union address to show you what happens. You know, we do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then it's done. There was no topic, there was no talking about what you thought did you like what he said? Do you believe what he said? It wasn't like that. Not anymore. But this is hilarious. I want to get into this because I've been dying to talk about this all day. The Nashville carjacking foiled by manual transmission. Can you believe this, folks? Yes, I guess they dragged this lady out of her car and all this stuff, and then it was a manual transmission. Of course, that's going to be banned very soon, folks, because, you know, that's discriminatory against these young kids, these young carjackers that It makes me, if I, my next car, it makes me want to get a stick shift, because then I'm have a pretty good chance of not getting it stolen because it's a stick shift. Now, I wouldn't want to have a stick shift in Chicago having to drive to Dan Ryan every day.
But when your wife doesn't know how to drive a stick shift, you'd have to teach her.
Oh, I would teach you in a heartbeat. Dude, I take my life. See, I'm protected by God, so. Hey, she learned how to drive from Mario. I mean, I'm sitting there. I mean, I got, you know those, like, sleeper shades you wear when you go to bed? I have those on when we go to Michigan. That way I don't have to see anything. Just kidding. My wife's a great driver.
You don't have to go that far now, right?
Oh, you're not. Well, I mean, what was the last accident that was your fault? Anyway, I just think it's hilarious. I just think, you know, 15 and 17 year old boy pull a woman out of a parked car, and they take her keys out of her hand, and guess what? And then it's stick shift. That's just so funny. God, imagine what they would do with an old Duesenberg where you had like the stick shift on the steering column.
Could you imagine the Model A's where they had to crank it from the front of the car? Because
plus with the Model A's, you had to like double shift.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, they'd be like,
They wouldn't even have a concept on how to do it.
Yeah, that's outright hilarious. But we're going to go to one of my favorite cities of all time, Chicago, the safest city in the world. Yes, if you haven't heard, Chicago is now considered the safest city in the world because this weekend they've had 70 injured and 11 dead. And Bob Emanuel and the police superintendent, you know, they need to step up, you know, in these troubled neighborhoods, they need to step up and do their thing. And Chicago's top cop stood side by side with Rob Emanuel to deliver a message to the residents of their city in the midst of another weekend. Step it up, you know. Like, it's sort of like, well, you know what? The reason why we haven't crack down on marijuana, we need to have more cops. We need to make the penalties for drugs harder because people won't do them. No, we just need to have more law enforcement. And no. Okay. Sorry, but billions of kilos of cocaine get in this country every year. Just legalize the damn crap. Tax it, because I guarantee, like I've said this before, I'm not going to do heroin just because it's legalized. They act like we just need to step up in these neighborhoods. No. These neighborhoods are far gone. Well, where was all... You had a Democrat Congress and Senate. You had a Chicago living person in the White House. Chicago should be great. Like I told someone. And I'm just going to come back to... And I'm going to come back to reference the Death of a Nation movie, okay? Let me tell you something about Chicago. I've posted videos in Chicago where there are blacks that are like, okay, you know what? This is like a third world country here. Show me a white Tea Party conservative Republican here. Show me a conservative. Show me a libertarian. Show me any type of white person. No, this is black democratic policies. I will vote for anyone that thinks it's going to try to help us and make life better for us. What the government wants, they don't want you in control. Wants it so that you, Melissa Sisko, are in debt to them.
That is not my honesty.
I'm just kidding. Anywho, I'm not thinking right. I'm not thinking straight right now with all this going on. I know, but anyways, I don't know why I do that. I guess I'm used to having a lot of my friends like they do there. They do like Melissa Cisco Dawn. Melissa Dawn Cisco woke up. Da da da. They're like an, you know, it's almost like that. What was that South Park episode where I had Chef and he goes, I switched to Islam, kids. My name is Mahatma Gandhi. It's like really long. But anyways, it's one of these things that the government wants you. They want to. The Democrats want to enslave you. You're not going to be with the shackle and chain by someone, but a lot of these government programs are designed to keep you on these government programs. Okay, well, I can't make this much. Find me a job where I'm going to make as much as I do sitting on my butt. And guess what happens? As soon as someone wants to take that benefit away from me, you can't take that benefit away from me because I got kids. I got kids. You can't take that benefit from me. Okay. No, they need to lower the benefit. You still get a benefit, Melissa woke up, but it's going to be less. You have to let you're incentivized to work. So, yeah, you'll get help to take care of your kids with some money, but you're going to sit there and you're going to get benefits. But you're going to have to earn them. You're going to have to work. Okay? And you're going to lose these benefits if you don't have a job of some sort. And if they say, what do you mean you can't take these benefits? Well, get a job, work, do something. But that's the thing. They see Democrats. Show me anywhere in history. Maybe my wife can answer this. Where can you show me at one point in history did the Democrats all of a sudden be the party for the black people and not for slavery and not for? There's not one point in history that you can say, well, this is the turning point when Democrats instantly, that never happened. Democrats voted 100% for segregation, 100% for slavery, 100% against Abraham Lincoln. And there's nothing, and they still are. They want to enslave you by having you in debt to the government. That's I want to have a strength. I want to have a dollar strength in the game. Well, how much better? Because someone goes up to me one time, and he goes, "Well, how much better are you off now that you got? Oh, you got Trump. You got your way. How much better off are you?" I'm like, "Well," and then I told this. I said, "You want to know? I'll tell you how better off I am." I said, "We're going in the right direction, but we got a long ways to go. You got to understand something. Trump is trying to fix from Obama, from Bush, from Clinton, from the first Bush, from Reagan. All these." People going all the way back that spent and did. Not that Reagan was bad, not that the Bushes were bad, but it goes back to my point of the restaurant where, okay, you're given $20 to buy a meal for dinner. Here's your $20. You can buy anything on the menu. You can get 4 lobster tails if you want. We're only paying $20 of the bill. You got to come up with the rest. And one person, everyone gets the $20 meal. Or under. They spend under $20. And then one person goes, well, I'm going to get this filet mignon and lobster tail. It's $30. And they don't put in the extra $10. And then someone goes, well, he got away with that. Well, then I want this and I want dessert and all this stuff. And then before you know it, a ton of people are getting more food than the $20 that they were given, but they're not putting in the extra money. You know? And that's what's happening here. You have people like Hillary Clinton that are basically starting charity organizations. And then they're, it's a 401c3, it's a charity organization, so I'm going to take $10 million, write it off on my taxes as a donation to this, and I'm going to take that money and spend it, go on a vacation, whatever. And she's going to go on vacation to Hawaii, not really a vacation, because she's going to get paid to do a speech about her charity organization, to make even more money, to legitimize her vacation. So she's going to take, instead of paying government taxes, she's not going to pay any taxes and put money into these charity organizations that she's going to go on a vacation. She's going to let me rephrase the vacation. She's going to go and do a speech and get paid to talk about her charity organization. If I was to do that, that's called money laundering. To hide the source of money by channeling it through an intermediary. You try to get away with stuff that these politicians do, but that's how they get away with it. That's how they... And this is the crazy part, because this Affordable Care Act, and I emphasize the word Affordable Care Act, affordable, because what's going to happen is they're talking about now, and there are many people that say that, and I'm one of them, give it 2018, near the time 2018 rolls around. You know what they're going to do in come 2020? If we don't have a replacement, a repeal and replace Obamacare bill, guess what's going to happen? When these premiums keep going up and up and up, they're going to blame Trump for the price of the premium, even though it's the Affordable Care Act. Trump had nothing to do with it, but because at first, he's going to take away this great health care, this affordable health care that millions of people depend on. And it's going from that to... Now they're going to start saying, well, the premiums have gone up and up and up, and blame Trump because he was going to repeal and replace. If they really wanted to repeal and replace this thing, Republicans would have had something. Hey, they've had 8 years in the making of this.
He has still done more.
Yeah.
In the time he's been in. With everybody that is against him, Republicans, Democrats, and the media, and Obama did the 8 years he was there.
Yep. And Republicans had 8 years to come up with something. Hey, we've done our math on this. This is what we've come up with. This is, you know, but they really haven't. They don't. These politicians don't care about you. That's what you got to wake up and realize. The government doesn't care about you. The only way they're going to help you is if you live in this congressman or senator's district, and this money he's getting from this bill is going to help that area where he lives, and you're going to get affected by the money that he's bringing in for himself, basically. And that money, he's going to take some of that money and build a park. And you might benefit from that park, and the reason you're benefiting from it is because that senator lives in your area. See, there's a little known thing called the Revolutionary War, and July 4th, 1776, look it up. We started this country to get away from a government that was useless, that was, people were tired of paying a tax to the government, a king's tax. Why should we have to?
You weren't represented over in England. You had no
representation.
It was not fair to us to get paid money over there when we were hurting here.
Yep.
Why do you think the Boston Tea Party happened? Because people were hurting. That was the biggest revenue at the time. That's the way they could hurt the government at the time.
Yep. The government would not know what to do if conservatives and Democrats came together and said, screw you. But you don't have these liberals that, Trump's Hitler, Trump's Hitler. Oh, really? I would love to say, so explain to me, I'm going to say a couple sentences and then once I'm done saying what I have to say, explain to me how he's Hitler, because Hitler was against Christianity. Trump is trying to bring it back. But that's a huge issue. Trump stands with Israel. Hitler wouldn't. Israel is a hugely Jewish populated state. Hitler would not support that at all. He would support going there and gassing them all, burning them alive. But that's the world we live in, because we have a bunch of liberal tards that don't know anything because they don't give shows on late night TV when James Comey should have been kept because he was investigating Trump, but they never got the memo and they were glad he was being sacked because that was the liberal agenda when he was going after Obama. They don't know anything. They just do what they're told. This is awesome. Michigan beachgoers form a human chain to rescue swimmers as two drowned in rough waters. just amazing. I mean, with the waters as rough and choppy as they are, I'd be afraid to go out there. But when someone else's life is on the line, and I'm glad. I don't know what the rule, because I'm not a beach goer. I've not lived near the beach. We always, where I live, we have a thing called Indiana Beach, and it's, you know, they have a little sandy area, but the whole joke about it, there's more than corn in Indiana, because, and I said, yeah, there's tomatoes. Indiana is one of the biggest tomato producing states, and soybeans, but I don't know much about the beach, and I do know, at least from like in swimming pools and stuff, sometimes if someone's drowning, you're better throwing something towards them, because you trying to save them might be not as safe. If they're close enough and you can pick like a stick and grab onto the stick and I'll wheel you in, because if you try to go in after them, they can sting or drown you in the process. So I don't know if something like this is where, okay, yeah, it's to the point to where if we do a human chain and we link arms, that you could actually put more people in danger, because granted, these two people are, if one person ends up letting go and this happens or that happens, and then you got like five or six people, now you got like nine or ten, you know, I don't know if there's a point where the human chain wouldn't happen just because it's too dangerous. Not that, I mean, I'd still do anything I could to go after the people and help them, but, you know. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of, and I hope you do, folks. I just think it was cool that they did what they did. This, as I move on, folks, 26 minutes left in the program. I don't know if you heard this, but Susan Wojcicki, host of SiriusXM's On Broadway radio program, sponsored a Kremlin annex singing protest in front of the White House on Monday night, featuring actress Rosie O'Donnell, Javier Muñez from Hamilton, and cast members from various Broadway musicals. Because, you know, the big thing is treason and Trump, and he's a traitor and all this stuff. And it's funny how they're trying to claim, oh, he's going to be hard to get rid of, but we'll get him out. We will, because, you know,
happen.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, oh, see, but then these are the same idiots that said, well, you know, when Hillary's in, it's not if Hillary will win, and when she wins, everyone on the right is just going to bitch and cry and piss and moan, because the election, there was collusion, it was rigged, it was hacked. Yeah, unfortunately, you can't collude the election, you can't rig it, you can't hack it. You need to live with the results of the election. See, Trump and the supporters of the Trump side are not going to be able to, you know, the people on the left are going to be able to live with the results of the election. Whatever the outcome is, we're going to be able to be okay with it. No, they're not.
I had a whole thing I was going to do. I was going to be live on Facebook. I was going to bash Trump so bad. What the heck? How can he lose?
No. Instead of wondering how could Hillary lose, you need to wonder. You need to think about how could you be so stupid and gullible to think that this liberal media machine fed you all this BS. You need to realize, wait a minute here. I was told it was a 999 billion percent chance that Hillary was going to win. Man, if I knew what I knew now, I would have put, hey, you think Hillary's going to win? Okay, I'll bet you, I'll put a bet on that one. I'll put a bet on that one because you're going to lose. Whenever I think of betting, all I can think of is that Revenge of the Nerds, where they were told to come up with some card game and they were playing poker and they were just making up all kinds of stuff. But it's just hilarious because that's what these liberals need to wake up and realize. And because, you know, because we weren't going to accept the result of the election. No, we accepted it. It's you liberal tards that can't accept the election. And, wow. And as soon as Trump got elected, the first thing was, okay, he's going to be impeached. Then it's like, how are we going to impeach him? And then it went from, how are we going to impeach him to, let me see here. Now, we're gonna claim Russia colluded, Russia did, we're going to claim all this stuff that got Trump to win the nomination that you said couldn't happen. You're gonna bring up all this crap that 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, 2 weeks ago you said couldn't happen, but now you're gonna use that as an excuse to the fact that how you lost. No, you need to wake up to realize how taken you are. What these liberals need to wake up, okay, the liberal meeting machine is sort of like a guy sitting at a table and he goes, I'm gonna take this sand. This is sand right here. I got this at Lowe's. I'm gonna put it in this machine. Guess what's going to come out? Gold nuggets. This machine is going to make gold nuggets from sand. I want you to invest in it. What do you mean invest in it? If you already got a machine right in front of you that can turn sand into gold nuggets, let me tell you. Why don't you just buy sand and put it in there? Because if you're actually getting gold nuggets from a bag of sand, I guarantee you those gold nuggets would be 50 million times worth more than... Okay, here's a $50 bag of sand, and you're probably going to get $5,000 in gold out of it. Wake up and smell the roses. You know, the liberals believing in the media is about as much as I believe in the Apple and their claim that their phone is water-resistant. It's not. That IP67 rating is BS. Because there are people that are looking into suing Apple because when they get a brand new phone, and I'm going to test this phone because it has this rating, so I got this little Rubbermaid disposable container, put a little bit of water in there, I put my phone in there for 10 seconds, lift it up. 2 hours later, they find out that, hey, there's water in the phone. You know, it's good. I mean, granted, I had to find out the wrong way because mine went into the washing machine. Granted, it was only like 5 minutes. When it should be able to last a heck of a lot longer than that. I mean, I guess it's like having a Invicta watch. It says it's rated for 200 meters water pressure. And you take a shower with your Invicta watch that's rated for 200 meters and water gets into it. You know, that don't make sense. But, you know, when you're doing the sheets and it was in the sheets and... But anyways, my point is, folks, I've always had that skepticism about me where I've always been like, okay, if... Like I'm not related to cooking. If a recipe says cook for 20 minutes, I cook for 10 minutes and see, okay, it says cook for 20 minutes. At 10 minutes, is it halfway there? Am I halfway done? I found out with some of these boxed, we get like these multi-grain mixes where it's like wild rice and like brown rice and, you know, white rice and it has mixes and it'll say put this much broth or liquid in here and then cook. And some of them I found out that, okay, it says put like 2 quarts of per box. And okay, I've put 2 quarts in there and when it's fully cooked, I still have a crap load of water left. So I've cut way back on the water or the broth or whatever, you know, and then that's what you got to do. You know, these liberals had, oh, we can't lose. We can't do this. And now they're like, oh, we're going to get Trump out of office. So, and what you think that if you impeach Trump or get him out of office, that Hillary's going to get in or something? Mike Pence would take over if Trump was to leave office And if Mike Pence goes in the Speaker of the House, there's rules and laws that take place. But hey, that's the libertards. So, I want to get into this because, you know, I was watching the WeatherTech Sports Car Series race. It was a great race from Mid-Ohio up in Wisconsin. Beautiful track, nice, lots of people. And I was talking to some guys at the Indianapolis 500, and they're like, yeah, there were scalpers that had $15 tickets, decent seats for the Brickyard. You couldn't even give them away last year. And as we have found out via Sunday, NASCAR CEO takes a leave of absence after being arrested in Europe on a DWI charge. And what I'm understanding is he had oxycodone pills on him. So we don't know. They're not really saying if he was drunk or if he was intoxicated because of the oxycodone pills. NASCAR said in a news release on Monday afternoon that France's leave of absence is indefinite and that Jim France will take on the role of interim chairman and CEO effective immediately. Jim France is Brian's uncle. The company previously called France's arrest a serious matter, and they want to get him help. He said he was really drunk, smelled of alcohol, and failed the sobriety test and everything. And this is coming to, his blood alcohol was 0.18, and in New York, the legal limit is 0.08. And this is a company that strides themselves on testing to make sure that people are safe and they're not driving. Because there was, I can see his face now, but he was a Craftsman Truck Series owner. He was crew chief for Darrell Waltrip for years. And one of his drivers tested positive for heroin, and he goes, I need help. I need help. And they got him help. He's gone through treatment and rehab and everything. Now he's helping others. But, I mean, he was like, he needed help. And he goes, I don't want to endanger the life, you know, and he stepped down and doesn't race anymore, of course. But it's just sad. But that's how it goes. I mean, you know, they don't, I mean, the company, it's one of those things that NASCAR is, they got to go back to their roots. They got to go back to North Wilkesboro and Rockingham and go back to what made NASCAR NASCAR. I truly believe that. And this goes for everything. You know, in 2003, when Matt Kenseth won the Winston Cup Championship, the last one, before Nextel took over the inaugural year in 2004, he didn't do hardly anything, and he won the championship, and you go fast forward, and okay, there were like 6 years where Jimmy Johnson, I see you stole his car, and he dang near won the championship. And then I think they kind of, we got to change this up so much so that Jimmy Johnson didn't have a chance, and going back and forth. And it's just, I feel like they try to appease everyone and instead of just leaving it alone. I mean, they made minor adjustments here and there in NASCAR, but they didn't do all this drastic stuff like they had in the last 10 years. And when they got out of Rockingham and North Wilkesboro, that's one of my favorite tracks to watch, Rockingham and North Wilkesboro. They need to go back to their roots and go back to their history and know what made them the sport. I remember when there was one of the drivers one time, he smoked and he was trying to quit, and you know, and they had an ashtray in the car, you know. it was a different time, you know, when I was back when you'd go to the track and they'd have Skull Bandit sponsoring the car, and they'd have Skull Boosts everywhere. You could get Chew everywhere, and not no more. It's different times, but it's just, you know, I got to go back. And I think since they're, you know, money doesn't make you happy. It won't solve your problems. But it'll pay bills. But, you know, and you, there are people that have said, you know, hey, I wish I could go to Disney World with my kids without being mobbed. I have more money than anywhere. I can go anywhere and do anything, but it's so hard to go. It's hard for me to go anywhere to where people don't recognize me. I'm like, okay, here I go. But then a lot of people say that for the longest time, Ryan France, he's not been seen at the racetrack. He's not there. He's not a presence. Let me take over NASCAR, okay? We're going to go back to Rockingham, North Wilkesboro. We're going to bring the sport back to the fans. Screw this Senior Cup with the segments. I've lost interest in NASCAR. I've been a diehard fan since the 80s, since Davey Allison and Alan Kowicki and Ernie Irvin and Dick Trickle. There's Jimmy Hensley in the Kodak car. There's Rusty Wallace. There's Michael Waltrip, and there's Kyle Petty and Richard Petty. And I mean, the good old boys. I mean, they were the good old boys. It was, you know, it's so different. And I've lost so much interest in it. It's not exciting anymore. It's like, well, we need to sit there and we gotta do these segments. We gotta change it up. There were still exciting races, even back in the day. It was just way. And I just don't see that excitement anymore. It's sad because it was a thing that I always thought would be huge. I always thought that would be something that would be here for a long time. You know, that's how it goes. Got about 9 minutes left in the program, folks. And what can you say about this transfer window? Can you say rubbish? As we move in, yeah, there are some people that claim that they have some transfers that they're waiting till the end. And they're going to, like, here, see, and that they've already secured and they're waiting. And I feel like we're an Arsenal team now. I feel like we're a team that the owners are treating it like a business. Hey, we're in the top four. Who cares? We're not, you know, no big deal. We're top four. We don't need to spend money. I don't know. I just don't know. I just feel like who is at fault? Who is at fault? I mean, because Aldeviro, I don't know if I want him. I don't want to do signings. Now, if this is something that they can come out and say, yeah, we had this deal done. We were just wanting to wait till the end, and then we're going to announce all these people. You know, Jerome Boateng is rumored to be possibly for $50 million to United, and I'm like, oh, we don't need a PSG player like that. I'm sorry, I don't know. I honestly think who's to blame? Is it the owners? Are they taking and basically saying, here, this is what we got, folks? We made second place. You know, when there are teams that came, when a first place team is getting players, and you got to constantly be getting players. You got to be, because, okay, let's say, well, you got to get rid of some deadwood. You got 7 deadwood players or 5 deadwood players. Well, you get rid of 2 deadwoods, and then you bring in 2, and you try to bring in and refresh. And I don't think the owners, I don't know if it's a, and if it's the owners, and they're treating United like a business, and like, hey, we made second place, we're doing great, who cares, you know, whatever. And you say to yourself, if that's what you're going to do, then if we get rid of Mourinho, are we going to have to find someone that's going to be able to take a team that gets second place and not be given much money at all to get anybody? And why sell any? Because there's rumors that why get rid of Fellaini? And I know if I get rid of Fellaini and he leaves, they're not going to give me anyone to replace him. He sucks, but he's better than nothing. He's better than getting rid of Anthony Martial or you know, a Phil Jones or a Shaw and not replacing him. I have a fear that if Fellaini goes, I'm not going to get a replacement. If you know, I think there's talk that Anthony Martial wants to leave United, but the board doesn't want him to go and doing everything they can to keep him. Is it going to be something to where we're going to have to take and find a manager if Jose doesn't stay around? Because I think it's a £12 million clause to get rid of him, to sack him, which is a lot of money. But do we sit there and say, okay, with Jose Mourinho, let's say we sack him, are we going to have to try to find a manager that could come in that, okay, I got to be prepared with these, with the board and the owners that we have now? They're not going to spend money when we're in second to try to get us to first or try to keep us up there. So I'm going to have to take the limited players I have and turn them into great players to dominate, which I think could easily happen. You know, if you get a manager that wants to develop the youth and wants to bring up the youth instead of having, yeah, let's get 6 or 7 players that are 29, 30-something that who knows how long they're going to be playing, and then they may get 2 good years out of them, 3 if you're lucky. And I honestly think you have an issue of the board just hey, look at all this money we have. And we don't want to, hey, we got second place, it's good enough. Where most people like me are like, well, I want a title. Second place is first loser. I mean, what was that, the no fear shirt? Second place is first loser. I mean, but you can also blame Jose Mourinho because, okay, when they say, can you win with these players you got? He needs to respond. What do you mean? Not only are we going to win, we're going to bring it. I mean, I think we need to play the 5-3-2 format. It's our only shot of doing. But I do agree with people that kind of have brought that point up. Okay, well, let's say Fellaini left. Who would be replacing Fellaini? Maybe Fred? I think he wants to get rid of him, but at the same time, he feels like if he goes, is the board going to give me anyone to replace him? We got less than 48 hours till the transfer window closes. And why they wanted to close it early, because like the Bundesliga is still going to be open. Their transfer window doesn't close. Neither does the La Liga. A lot of these other leagues, defensively, their transfer window doesn't close. And it's just frustrating, because it's like, I've often joked, let's say, what if we go to a transfer window where we only have Fellaini staying and we only get Fred, because the lot is not really going to be playing next year. He is a great signing and he's a great development player, but he's not going to play for a couple years on first team football, that is. So I don't know. If we're going to have a team that runs United like a business, then I don't know what I think about that, because I kind of feel like we're at a stage in this format to where, as long as we're in second place, guess what? Good luck. So, I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the program that I hope you feel a part of, folks. And I want to thank you so much. And just remember, folks, tell your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your significant other, your elephant, your giraffe, whatever you have as pets or family or friends, or just let them know you love them, because you never know when it's going to be the last time you're going to be able to say that. Just live every day. Like that country song says, live like you were dying, So hook yourself up to a bunch of tubes and machines and live your life. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and a sacred honor. Till this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.